Support for KSJD's streaming comes from Osprey PAX, independent since 1974, setting the standard for creating and producing innovative, high-quality, caring equipment designed to inspire and ease your journey. Osprey PAX is committed to the local communities where it operates and to protecting the wild places its customers love to explore. For more information, visit OspreyPAX.com.
You are listening to Morning Edition on KSJD. Good morning, I'm Tom Yoder. Food insecurity is a condition of limited or uncertain access to adequate food. This morning on Pandora's Box, we'll talk about food insecurity in Colorado and the impact that it has on our communities, especially children. Joining me by phone from her warm and toasty place is Lynn Patrick. She is host of Pandora's Box. Good morning, Lynn.
Thank you, Tom. I'm happy to be here. Both in my warm and toasty home,
yes,
and on Pandora's Box this morning, we have something really important to talk about.
Yeah, so let's talk about food insecurity, and let's dig in a little bit more about what that means exactly, and maybe how it's different from what we typically talk about as hunger.
So food insecurity, to begin the show, and when I was preparing for the show, this story kept coming into my head. It's a personal story. And I think it really sets the stage for what we're going to talk about today. The story is about my son, who was working at a fast food establishment that shall remain nameless while he was in high school. And he came home one day and told me that he had lost his job because he had been sneaking food to one of his fellow coworkers whose family had to go without food for a week every month in between paychecks. You know, this was a highly emotional thing for him because he was friends with this guy who had young children and was living, he was trying to support his family on a fast food worker's wage, and that his family, including his young kids, literally ran out of food every month a week before his next paycheck. So my son had literally had him drive into the parking lot and had figured out a way to feed him. I'm getting a little choked up about this as I'm talking about it because I was never more proud of my son than I was for, you know, him losing his job in an attempt to deal with food insecurity. Now, my son is in his 30s now. This was quite a while ago. But it sets the stage for what is happening all over America and has been happening for a while. And that's that food insecurity, which you've defined. It's the way that our government defines hunger hits kids most, and it is most damaging with kids between the ages of 1 and 6. They are the most at risk for food insecurity and most at risk for the health impacts of food insecurity.
So
there are lots of studies that show that food insecurity in kids leads to higher risk of stunted early development, physical health problems, and behavioral challenges. And it's very closely correlated with obesity. Now, it's important to remember that kids are not little adults. Their physiology is different. Their health impacts from food security are different. And kids, you know, their immune systems and their central nervous systems, meaning their brain and their spinal cord, don't stop developing when they're born. It takes fully years for the immune system and the nervous system to develop. And food insecurity definitely impacts that. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later on. But most importantly, food insecurity impacts pregnant women. It's related to gestational diabetes, higher risks for obesity during pregnancy. Now, the important thing is to know that food insecurity, when it impacts pregnant women, also impacts their developing fetuses and leads to higher risk for obesity in those children, as well as anxiety and depression rates in children. So food insecurity actually impacts the developing fetus. We're talking about a lot of kids, one in five in America. And I'll talk a little bit later on about Montezuma County, where we live.
Yeah. Now, Lynn, you've said a couple times this morning that food insecurity can lead to higher rates of obesity, which does not, in my mind, correlate. Why would food insecurity or lack of an access to adequate food lead to obesity?
So this is where the story gets pretty interesting. What we know about food insecurity is that families who are food insecure are not necessarily calorie insecure. They may be getting the same amount of calories as families who are not food insecure. The difference is in what's in those calories. We know that those families are not getting enough of some really crucial micronutrients like calcium, vitamin B6, magnesium, iron, and zinc, crucial for the developing immune system and nervous system of children both in the womb and once they're born. But even more complex is the effect of those nutrient-empty calories on the physiology of those kids. I have a colleague, Dr. Jerry Mullen, who is a gastroenterologist at Johns Hopkins University. I spoke with him recently, and he just wrote a book on this topic about obesity and the microbiome. And what we know is that calorie-dense but nutrient-empty and fiber-empty foods, those that families who are food insecure are most likely to buy, because those are the cheapest foods. You know, those are the foods where you get the most bang for your buck in terms of volume, you know, actual amount of food. They affect the microbiome, meaning the ecosystem of the gastrointestinal tract. And there are thousands, literally, of studies that have been published in the last 10 years on the effect of these empty calorie diets on the microbiome. Fascinating, but true, that changes in the microbiome increase risk for obesity. So, in other words, I want to make this clear, because it is the research, that the different types of bacteria that you have in your gut actually increase risk for obesity based on how these microbes metabolize calories. Dr. Mullen's entire book is on this subject. So, and he's done research in this area. So there is a direct link between food insecurity, low fiber, high calorie, low nutrient dense foods, and increasing risk for obesity. Now, the problem is that we have a really serious epidemic of childhood obesity in the United States. We're talking about one in four kids are either overweight or obese in the United States right now. And that holds true for the state of Colorado. You know, we used to be the leanest state in the country for both adult obesity and childhood obesity, but no more. Nearly one in four kids in Colorado right now is either overweight or obese. More of a problem in Hispanic kids, but even 20% of non-Hispanic white kids are overweight or obese. And that leads to significant increased risk for heart disease in kids. You know, we're talking about kids who have hypertension and high cholesterol and type 2 diabetes. There's actually a new type of diabetes called latent onset diabetes. That's an epidemic in kids where kids can actually develop non-type 1 or non-insulin requiring diabetes. So this is a huge issue, and it is very closely tied to food insecurity.
Yeah. I want to remind our listeners this morning that you are listening to KSJD. This is Pandora's Box. I'm Tom Yoder. I'm talking with Lynn Patrick this morning, the host of Pandora's Box, about food insecurity and its impact on our communities, especially kids. Lynn, you had mentioned that you have some data on Montezuma County. Can we turn to that now? I'd like to maybe let listeners know a little bit more about what this looks like in our communities as we look around just here in Southwest Colorado in the Four Corners area.
Yeah. So I'm going to be talking about some health statistics from the Colorado State Health Department, CDPHE, Colorado Department for Public Health and the Environment. They're recent, and they're looking at all the different counties in the state of Colorado. We are Region 9. And so Region 9 is Montezuma, La Plata, Archuleta, San Juan and Dolores County. So not including Telluride, but including Pagosa Springs, Cortez, and Dolores, and Mancos. And when we look at these counties together and we compare them with the rest of the state, we are right up in the four highest areas for food insecurity. And if you really look, you know, and dig into the statistics, we're actually neck and neck with Region 14, which is Adams County up in Colorado. So mm-hmm. we are one of the highest areas in the state for food insecurity for kids aged 1 to 14. And if you really, you know, statistics are funny because they can be looked at in a bunch of different ways. But sure. if you look at actually the highest and lowest rates for Region 9, we're right up there, number 3, you know, the third wow. highest. Region, not county, but region for food insecurity. So there's a lot of food insecurity in our area.
So Lynn, tell me a little bit, I mean, as we look at this, what are some solutions that you see to this issue? I mean, some of them are probably some pretty big fixes, but can you think of other things that people can just do generally throughout their day-to-day lives or, you know, organizations that they can support, those kinds of things to deal with this issue of food insecurity specifically?
Well, there are different levels of solutions, and so we'll talk about the most immediate first. So as we know, food stamps or the SNAP program allows people to get about the equivalent of $4 a day per person to feed their family, depending on how big their family is. That's not sufficient. The Institute of Medicine actually published a study the last 5 years looking at the ability of the food stamp program to cover food insecurity. And for most families, their determination was it's not enough. So there's an empty space there, especially to get healthy foods into families, onto families' tables. And so locally, there are food pantries, and food pantries are usually supported by churches. Sometimes we have a food pantry in our local school here in Mancos. The food pantries in schools are very popular. You don't need to, you know, it's easy to qualify, and you can literally just go by and pick up food. They're also very empty. Yeah. So we have a huge problem, and we're going to have some on Pandora's Box. We're going to cover this issue for the rest of the month. So we're right. going to be interviewing some people here locally who are very personally involved in the food pantry system.
Great. Well, Lynn, I think unless there's anything else, I think we'll leave it at that. Anything else you want to leave us with?
Just that food insecurity is something that our friends and neighbors suffer from in silence, and we need to provide very easy solutions for people to get healthy food. Farm to School is doing that. So that's the other organization that I strongly support. I support, and I support everyone to support, because that's teaching kids how to grow their own and cook their own food and to provide food to kids in school directly. You know, kids are able to access that food. But that's the, you know, learn how to teach the kid to fish rather than giving them the fish solution that I think is the long-term solution. We all need to support our farm-to-school programs.